track session number 30493, reel 21.
Durham would have had my belly full, I guess. But, you know, thank God it didn't come to that. My protest remained a diary entry.
What was your attitude towards conscientious objectors towards the war itself?
Very sympathetic, yes. No, I never regarded a contrary, as we called them, as a coward. Not at all. No, I thought they were brave people. I mean, in the First World War, Bertrand Russell had been a conscientious objector and gone to prison, and hundreds of people were sent to Dartmoor and served in prison sentences for being conscientious objectors, which I think is appalling. It's only a minority of anyway who became conscientious objectors. They weren't cowards, they just didn't want to kill people. That's perfectly legitimate. And happily, the policy was alleviated towards them in the Second World War, and they were usually put on fire service or medical orderlies, and that they were able to, in a way, they went on helping the war, but at least they didn't engage in the slaughter. And I know nothing but admiration for conscientious objectors. I was always on the side of minorities, you know, and still am today. And minorities are under pressure and persecuted and hatred, racial hatred. I just loathe all these hatreds that exist, always have done. This is the heart of the fascist philosophy, and that was what we were fighting. It's all part of it, you know. All adds up. One has to be connected. I'm a great one for Ian Forster. Edict, I suppose you'd call it. Only connect, he says. Only connect, and that's what you have to do. Connect one fact with another. See how it all connects up. A lot of people fail to do that, unhappily. Don't make connections.
How has your attitude towards the war as a whole developed and changed from then to now?
Well, I think that could be summed up in very quickly. When my medals arrived, I have 5 medals in a little cardboard box from the War Office. Now, I threw that in the back of the drawer and didn't open it until a year ago. How about that? Now, why? Why wasn't I proud of those medals, you know? Why didn't I pin them up? Now, of course, I've got them on the wall there, on display, in the loo. But why didn't I open that box of medals? Because it's just incredible to me that we were actually beginning to rearm the Germans. When I got that box of medals, I thought that was appalling. We were recruiting Nazi criminals because the Cold War was looming, and some certain people in high places thought, well, who's good at fighting the Russians? And they thought, oh, the Nazis, they were rather good at it, weren't they? They killed 20 million of them. Oh, yes, we could use them. But now there's quite a literature about it all, about what was going on at that time. The extent to which Nazi criminals' crimes are overlooked, and the first people to recruit them, I mean, look at who would have thought that the man who was responsible for the V1s and the 2s on London, you know, hurling, it almost won the war for Hitler in the last year of the war, with the V1s and V2s hurtling over Britain and blowing up masses of people. A lot of people who were in London and Britain at the time say how terrible these rocket bombs were. And yet the man who invented them for the Nazis and was responsible for launching of them was seized on by the Americans, who used him in their space program. They said, oh, you must come and make rockets for us. You've been very good working for the Nazis. You're rather good at it. We can make use of you. And that was the, within, you know, all that sacrifice, fighting the Nazis, and here we were employing them. Although, what it, to those who knew about it, it was appalling. It's all hidden, really, and forgotten now today. But for lots of people on the left in Britain, it was an appalling state of affairs, and the whole picture of it, of course, has emerged in more recent academic studies. I mean, it's all well documented now, but it certainly changed my attitude to some extent. Now, the war was a just war, it had to be fought, no doubt about that. And I'm glad I was part of that. But what followed, it wasn't quite the world that we'd sacrificed for. That's me summing up. We expected rather bigger changes than the ones that actually took place. All the Labour government did was nationalise about 10% of the economy, you know. And, well, look where that's got us to today, with a roaring capitalist economy in severe trouble. Millions of Americans now, 2 million American homeowners expected to lose their homes. Foreclosure, because they can't afford those awful rates of interest, and it's happening in Britain now. People are borrowing more money than they've ever done in their lives before to cope. This isn't the world we hoped for, fought for, and veterans like me are rather disappointed, to put it mildly.